now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
All right, cool.
Sweet.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my two very special guests are Tyler Kowala and Aaron Kuhn. Tyler is an experiencer, independent researcher, and passionate disclosure activist, most popularly known in the Awakening community for Journey to Truth podcast, hosted by himself and fellow disclosure activist Aaron Kuhn. Together, they have created a platform for discussing any and all controversial and eye-opening topics without limitations in an effort to spread awareness to the masses. Tyler is in the process of developing his own YouTube channel, and he already has it, where he will be creating content that takes a deeper look into some of the lesser-known truths of our world that are hiding in plain sight. Aaron Kuhn is a researcher and activist in the Disclosure Awakening community. He was a devout Christian until the age of 25 when he had his awakening. Through questioning and researching anything and everything, he came across people like David Icke, David Wilcock, Jordan Maxwell, Dolores Cannon, Project Camelot, and others. He started putting the pieces together about ETs, what's really going on our planet, our true history, the true nature of reality, etc. After 5 years doing research in isolation, in 2017, he attended his first conference, Eclipse of Disclosure, in Mount Shasta, California. The next year, at the sequel to that conference, Dimensions of Disclosure, he met Tyler Kowala. They shortly thereafter started the Journey to Truth podcast and have been going strong ever since. And we'll have all the links to Tyler and Aaron's websites and YouTube channels. I'm really excited about this, and what an epic place for you two guys to meet at Mount Shasta of all places. Anyhow, welcome Tyler and Aaron to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
And thank you for having us.
Small correction: we met in Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah. The conference after that, but it still was amazing. We were in the mountains in Colorado.
It was epic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Starting with you, Tyler. I'm always interested in the voyage of self-discovery. I'm always interested in origin stories because it tells so much about where a person came from and you know the milestones and guideposts they took to get to this point going forward. So, you know, we'll take it in turns. Tyler, yeah, tell us a bit about how this all got going for you, experience-wise and awakening-wise.
Well, it all started in the Orion Wars. No, I mean, it really did. I just had a past life reading, actually, and the off-planet life that it showed me was one specifically during the Orion Wars. And it was some incredible detail. You know, I can't really verify any of it, but it resonated. And I think a lot of us now actually probably fought in the Orion Wars, and we're here now. We're here now fighting that same battle still. It's not over. But it started for me age 25. My mom passed away, and like a light switch, my experiences started. I've always been into this stuff, you know, growing up, conspiracy theories, Bigfoot, UFOs, but I never took it any further than that. It was just interesting to me. I didn't even really believe in anything. I was growing up in a Catholic and Christian families, but I didn't participate in that. I eventually became atheist because the group of people I was hanging around with were atheist. And I really didn't have any rhyme or reason to why. I just like was fitting in with the group. And so I didn't believe in anything, actually. My mom passed away, and immediately I started getting attacked, which by what I now believe is to be reptilians. And it wasn't just like mild attacks. It was like, I thought I was dying sometimes. I thought this was like the first one that happened. I didn't know what was happening, but I remember thinking to myself, this is over. I'm something's killing me right now. I couldn't move. I thought I wasn't going to make it to the morning, but, that's how it started. It started off very dark, and I had to figure out, it forced me to believe in something that I didn't believe. Cause the only way to figure out, the only way out of that was to learn these new or learn how to protect yourself and develop new tools and use tools that you didn't even know existed. And it was just, it just was this whole snowball of synchronicities that led me to basically where I am now. And in order for me to tell the entire story, we don't have enough time for that. But it definitely started off with these attacks. That's why I resonate with all your information because, I mean, I have firsthand experienced it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And Aaron, if you'd like to go into a bit of your background and what brought you into this arena.
Yeah. So like you read with my bio, I grew up Christian. I was very Christian. I was like that kid, basically. Very involved in like the youth group, you know, growing up. And then when I was 25, I just started questioning my own beliefs. It was just like a light switch went off in my head of like, wait a second, are these really my beliefs or are these somebody else's that were handed to me? You know, how do I know these things are true? I haven't actually like done the research myself or dug myself for truth. I've just kind of like accepted all these things. And even though I knew I had the spiritual connection, like with what you would call God or source or whatever, this greater intelligence, like I had that. So I'm grateful for my upbringing for that. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, because, you know, when you experience that, you just know it. But all these other things, you know, with religion on top of that were what I was like, wait a second, what's really going on here? So I realized, you know, I did my research and then realized so many things weren't adding up. And then I was like, well, what is true? You know, and that just led me down. I just wanted to go down every rabbit hole and every trail I could to find truth. And just me being me, I wasn't, you know, where a lot of people wouldn't go too far out there with like ETs and, you know, too esoteric and stuff like that. I went straight into all that stuff because I'm like, well, what if all this stuff is true, you know? And then I would come across one thing that would fascinate me, and I'd just go as far down as that rabbit hole as I could. And then, like I said, like you read in the bio, came across David Icke. Early on, it was like David Icke, Project Camelot, David Wolcott, Dolores Cannon. And I was like fascinated by all the information I was coming across these people. And then at the same time, I was realizing how the world really is and how controlled it is, and the dark kind of control system of the world. And so it was like simultaneously this like scary awakening to that stuff, and like, oh my God, what is, you know, what is all this? and also liberating and exciting and beautiful awakening, and then awakening to my true nature, you know. And I'm realizing like, oh, I knew I was an eternal spiritual being, but it's in a different way now. I'm not confined to this box of I go to heaven or hell when I die, you know, which is the Christian belief. It's like, oh, I've had past lives and I've lived, you know, I'm the soul that's lived forever, and I will, you know, as I spiritually evolve, will evolve into these higher realms. But it's not like this one life is it, and based on one decision in this life, and then you go to the one, it's like such a limited thing. So yeah, I just kind of like had this explosive awakening and dark night of the soul, you know, at that time with it, and transformation. And but yeah, I had no one to talk to about any of the stuff in my life, because I had my like Christian family and some Christian friends, but then I had my like atheist and agnostic kind of friends that I was in a band at the time that were all like those type of people, like Tyler said, who didn't believe in any of this stuff and didn't want to hear about any of this stuff if I would try to bring it up, and then would kind of like make fun of me about believing in the ETs and UFOs and stuff, you know, too. It was like, oh yeah, you're into that stuff, whatever. So yeah, I just spent 5 years in isolation doing my own research and own spiritual growth, and until I made the decision to finally go to a conference and change my life. And then
right,
because of going to conferences, that's how I met Tyler, and that's how we started this podcast, and my life's been changed, and it's been amazing ever since. So
it was a similar voyage of discovery for me, because, you know, I rejected Catholicism at an early age. My mom was a Catholic, is a Catholic. My dad was a Protestant. No figure, but, you know, my mom held sway. They used to take me to a Catholic church in Corpus Christi, Texas. And at some level, I immediately rejected it because I made myself a nuisance. I would make up my own lyrics to all the, you know, Gregorian chants that they were singing and whatnot. And my lyrics were peppered with things like shit and caca and stuff like that. So eventually, yeah, as entity infested as it sounds, right? That's what I was doing at an early age. And after a while, my mom just stopped bringing me. But that shame base coming from a Filipino background, because Catholicism is so steeped in much of the Philippine population because of the long Spanish occupation. Mm-hmm. So that one strike, you're out rule, and this is as good as it's going to get. And then you're going to go through an intermediate stage of purgatory. Then you're going to go to hell because you're born with original sin, all that stuff. It does create this kind of, you know, mental baggage that you carry around. You know, like subconsciously, you're keeping like a scorecard. You know what I mean?
So you're always questioning whether you're going to make it, or am I really saved? Or am I good enough? And it's this constant fear.
Exactly. And then also I resonated with what you said about simultaneously you feel the sensations of fascination. Wow, this is really going on. And in my case, it was like, and these aliens seem to be interested in me for some weird reason, right, of all people. So it was equal parts fascination, but also fear. And in order to get a hold of the fear and get in control, I had to do some research. There was no two ways about it. So totally, I resonate there. Now, Tyler, you mentioned that one of the things that, you know, set off the alarm clock, so to speak, was reptilian experiences. And that definitely was the case with me, because I had already known I'd had gray type experience, actually reptilian grays. But when the rep started showing up, it took it and the necessary research to come to some grips with it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, listening to Aaron tell a story, it's funny how both of us were, I guess, activated at age 25. You know, I've heard you tell your story, but it just now clicked. I'm like, age 25. It's like, you know, we were both in different places, obviously, but something that was like a catalyst year for us.
Yeah.
I guess
like more the information wise, you came a little bit later.
Yeah.
But the activation was the same.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The same age. Yeah.
It's almost similar. You guys, you know, experienced fear in a different area than I did, but it was still fear that drove me to learn and figure out what was going on, because I was 25. Like I mentioned in our last interview, I was afraid to go to bed. I was afraid of the dark. But the first experience I had, I never even had heard of a reptilian at that point. You know, I didn't know what to make of it, but I actually was levitated out of my bed. And I was laying there falling asleep a few days after my mom passed away, watching Seinfeld and Seinfeld DVDs. I didn't have cable at the time. And I was just like trying not to fall asleep so I could finish the episode. And next thing I know, the TV remote just starts floating out of my bed. Like I'm watching this TV remote just start floating in the air. Like I didn't even know if it was real or not. And then I'm like, well, I better grab that, you know? And I go to try and grab it, and I start coming out of my bed, and I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't even panicking yet at this point. I was just like trying to figure out if it was real, what was going on. And before I knew it, I'm like almost hitting the ceiling, right? and I'm like, shit, I need to get back into bed. I'm like,
were you questioning whether you were awake at first?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure. And then I also remember thinking, is this an out-of-body experience? Because I had heard of that at the time. And I'm like, maybe this is one of those out-of-body experiences. And behind my bed was a mirrored closet doors, floor to ceiling. It was basically the whole wall was like a mirror. So when I got almost to the ceiling, I somehow managed to turn myself around. And I looked down at the bed, and I wasn't in bed. And then when it got real is when I looked into the mirror, and I saw me in the air with the TV remote floating next to me. And I remember like my arms and legs were kind of hanging down, just straight down, like towards the bed. And I'm like, I started panicking and I was like, I need to get down. What the fuck's going on? And I started like trying to swim because I didn't know what else to do. I'm like trying to get back down and it seemed to be working. And I was like slowly getting closer to the bed. And as soon as I got closer to the bed, I was like flipped over back around on my back. My arms and legs were crossed and I was like pinned down to the bed and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream for help. I couldn't hardly breathe. I was trying everything I could and I thought something was killing me. I was like, oh, my, I'm dying. Something's killing me. I didn't know what was happening. I'm trying to scream for help. Nothing's coming out of my mouth. I couldn't move a muscle. I was terrified. I remember just thinking it's over. Like, I'm dying. Holy shit. I'm dying right now. And then something came over me and I just keeping it real. I just told myself, I remember specifically telling myself in my head, like, come on, Tyler. I was like, come on, Tyler. Don't be a pussy. Don't be a pussy. You can do this. Break free. You're stronger than this. And something, all I got this motivation somehow. And I managed to break free, jumped out of bed, ran down the hallway into the kitchen and just turned around like, what the fuck? I remember just like saying, what the fuck? And looking down the hallway back towards my bedroom. I don't know how long I stood in that kitchen and this disbelief, like what just happened. And I finally walked back down the hall, looked in the bedroom and like, I was scared to even what I might see, you know, but everything's kind of seemed normal. I didn't fall asleep that night. I never did. I took off work the next day. And that was the beginning of a long run of these attacks. And it got intense sometimes.
The similarities that we have also, because looking back, I really got into this when I was about 25, 26 years old, because I'd come back from Germany and then I had a series of experiences and then I was probably in my 25th year by then. And then certainly by the time I was 26, I was really into studying everything I can get a hold of. And I went through a similar thought process, Aaron. One time I was laying in bed and I began levitating, being lifted off, but I screamed unashamedly. I screamed and I didn't know at the time. Funny how I would even have this as a thought process. Is this astral or is it physical? Either way, this sucks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I kind of got clued in that I was astral because I couldn't hear my voice reverberating off the ceiling and the walls, you know, from screaming. And on another occasion, I was unceremoniously dropped off. Stupid ETs or whoever had like dropped me off a few feet from my bed. Right. And I came crashing down. Another thing that I've come to understand, and I call it the alarm clock syndrome. We all seem to wake up, so to speak, around the, you know, year 25, 26 of our lives. And where the conspiratorial for me joined with the extraterrestrial was when I went to my very first big conference. Mm-hmm. Prior to that time, I'd only gone to single speaker lectures with the San Diego UFO Society. And then a couple of months into that, whammo, big conference in LA. And I was excited my first time there. And as always, I'm always gravitated towards books. So I go out to the exhibition center and they have all these tables like laid out with all these books on them. And I walk up and one of the very first books I see, I look down, Shadows of Power, the Council on Foreign Relations. I think James Petras was the author. And then I started flipping through it. And I just see that whether they're Republican or Democrat, they're all part of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is an offshoot, as you know, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, Rockefeller, Rothschild funded. And I go, that's why nothing ever seems to get better. And everything just seems to get worse. So to me, that was where, you know, the twain met, where there's this extraterrestrial component and there's a conspiratorial component. They meet in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And you know, for me also, part of my voyage of discovery and what motivated me, I don't know how, you know, if you guys can relate to this, but it was the anger, quite frankly, because, you know, all those years, all the tuition fees I paid in college, nobody told me, you know, that space aliens come into your bedroom at night and take you away. Not once in science class, all these authority figures, and they make a point of ridiculing and debunking the subject. That irked me no end. When I realized that that was going on also, my faith and belief in all these institutions just started to crumble right then. Aaron, what are your thoughts about this as far as, you know, where the twain met? Because you talked about some key researchers there a moment ago and how they helped you and what you discovered internally. But how was your internal compass working along with that?
Yeah, it was, before my awakening, you know, I had the, you know, the Christian belief of, well, Satan runs the world. He, you know, God's letting him kind of be in charge of the world. And that's why things are so bad. But then when I had my awakening and I realized, well, it's the kind of like, yeah, that's true, but it's not in the way that my religious, you know, compartmentalized way of thinking about it. And it's actually, then I learned about ET, you know, I had never really tried to look into ETs or really had much of a thought, or, you know, I was taught, oh, they're just demons. If you see ETs or UFOs, it's demons. That's the typical. But then I realized, well, yeah, there's negative ETs that you could consider demons or demonic, but they're just beings from elsewhere that are negatively oriented. But they're here, and there's all kinds of evidence that they're here, and they are at the top of this pyramid of control. And there's like the humans that are, you know, running things on the human, or, you know, seemingly humans. There's actually, you know, genetically, you know, many of them are actually not exactly human. But
yeah, we're cattle and sheep.
Yeah. But above them are these. Yeah, exactly. Are these,
I'm joking.
Yeah. Are these negative ETs that are controlling them, and it's like, oh, the reason that, you know, there's this anti-human agenda going on that seems to hate humans and, you know, hate all of us in the planet and want us, you know, killed or enslaved. It's because they're not humans that are running this thing, that are very negatively oriented and do not like us. And it just made sense to me. And then there, you know, I just saw all the evidence that pointed to that. And it's funny that is, if you can just have an open enough mind to look into this and see the evidence and make the conclusions from there yourself without having any preconceived beliefs or what's too crazy or not, or, you know, already any beliefs already, and you just see the evidence and it all points to that. Like so much points to that, and it's undeniable in my opinion. But the way, you know, like you were saying, all the systems on our planet, we're indoctrinated into these belief systems of what reality is. We're told what reality is, and then until you can break out of that and start thinking for yourself, you're just going to be stuck in these boxes of this is what truth is. Anything outside of that is crazy or BS, or I can't look outside of that, you know, that this is it. And and then you won't see what's right in front of your face, which is what it's like. It's literally all right in front of our faces. Until you have eyes to see it, you're just not going to see it. But since I broke out of my box that I had, and I let myself be open to everything and just take in what I'm seeing and experiencing and researching for myself, and making conclusions from there, and what resonates, you know, on a soul level too, with me. And I was like, oh my god, there's these, yeah, this is what reality is. And it was very sobering, but it was freeing at the same time. It's like now I can like operate from actual reality and truth, and truth of myself, and, you know, just reality in general, rather than illusions, which just like most people are stuck in illusions is what you realize. And you know, people cling to that because it ties to your ego and everything else. And it's such a strong bond with, you know, their people's identities are tied to these illusions. But
well, that's what we're seeing right now. I mean, that's what we're seeing right now.
It's just, and then, it's and right now with the COVID stuff and the jabs, it's like, as soon as that started happening, as soon as any of this stuff started happening, I'm like, I knew exactly what it was. I knew exactly what the agenda was. I knew exactly who was behind it because I'd been already studying all this stuff. I'd already been researching all this stuff.
Day one. We were both onto it. I mean, clear. It wasn't even a question in my mind. I'm like, okay, this is a false flag.
Now
let's break it down. Let's analyze it. And
exactly.
So immediately right off the bat, it was just like, okay, I get it. And then obviously we're here today. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I had a feeling of, oh, here we go. Right. Here we go.
Yep.
When they just kept hyping up all the cases in China, and you know, they were like trying to freak us out with the woo woo graphics and, you know, in the news presentations. Right.
Yeah.
You know, what Tyler talked about earlier too, and what you mentioned just right now, ego is a block to learning, and the herding instinct, because of the, quite frankly, dogmatic indoctrination and the lobotomizing effect that, you know, the schools and the media have on us.
Mm-hmm.
When we're making an effort to navigate our way through this, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that we have an intuitive process, because what these entities strive to do is they want to keep us disembodied. They want us permanently in our headspace where they can just get away at us with these intrusive thoughts, voices, and, you know, the herd instinct of those around us. And I remember you know, there was like this incongruent aspect to things where I would be around these new agers, and to them, it's like, oh, we must never talk about anything negative like reptilians or alien abductions. That's just a fear-based perspective, right? Meanwhile, I'm saying to myself, well, you know what? Some of the experiences I had, they weren't exactly a champagne cruise. They really did suck at a conscious and a subconscious level. So I was getting these mixed messages, and it was a struggle, quite frankly, to, you know, I wasn't like argumentative about it, or I wasn't, you know, confrontational about it. I just kind of took it on. I didn't quite take it on board, but I didn't argue with these people either when they had that kind of new age Pollyanna mindset. But what it did eventually was it strengthened in me this need to, look, I got to go with what feels right to me. I got to, you know, follow this intuitive process. And eventually, just like in the case with you two connecting, and I'm sure with other people in your network, then I began to meet people, key people in my life. Not as many as the Pollyanna New Agers, but key people that were able to, you know, be my rock, be my kind of foundation as I got, you know, my sea legs going. And I like your thoughts about this also. When we get on this voyage of discovery, and we know that there seems to be a controlling factor of some kind, and then when we really start digging into it, sharing information, what have you, then what happens, at least in my case and some of my colleagues' cases, the spiritual warfare reprisals start erupting in our lives all across the board, financially, interpersonal relationships, jobs, car difficulties, et cetera, et cetera. Tyler, you know, you talked about that experience earlier. Later, as you came to grips with this and really delved deep into the research and study, what were the kind of things that happened that, you know, proved to be, I wouldn't say hindrances, but like momentary obstacles to be overcome?
Myself, I was in my own way. Honestly, that is true. That was the biggest realization, is how much I had to change about my way of life and how I operated. And I realized I didn't know who I was. I was a fake version of myself, fitting into a world and a group of people that I really didn't resonate with, but I was just trying to find my way, keep my head above water. I didn't know what I was doing. But then once I started getting into it and researching, at some point I realized that none of the information was blowing my mind or shocking me. And then I started thinking about, I was like, I've know this. I already know all this. Like, somehow I know this. And I've always, from a young age, I literally knew the political system was a joke. I've always seen that. I never voted a day in my life, actually. I couldn't put into words to other people because I didn't have any reference point. I didn't know why I knew, but I just thought it was a joke.
I'm a recovering Republican, just to interject for a second.
Nice.
Right. So I always knew there was something going on with that. So when I started learning about everything that you guys just spoke about, how everything's been controlled and manipulated, and the Rockefellers and the banking system and just the political arena and what's actually going on there, and the fact that reality, that ETs, reptilians, and are actually running the show. And it was just, there was no anger. I wasn't angry. Like, I'd been duped. I was like, finally, it makes sense to me now. Everything I was feeling makes sense. And still to this day, like every once in a while, I'll read something or come across some information that kind of like surprises me, but that's rare, because I feel like half of this stuff that we're reading and learning about, we already know. And that's why it resonates so deeply, because on some level we're just remembering it. And that's how we just know. That's that inner knowing, that direct knowing, because we came here knowing all that already, you know. And the amnesia right now, the awakening is like the amnesia wearing off, you know. You're just like kind of waking up and things are a little foggy still, but you finally find your way. So there's nothing about, I don't even remember what your actual question was anymore, but.
Oh, it's just as far as like, were there times, instances when there seemed to be some kind of unseen force that was trying to hinder you and your efforts, some kind of spiritual warfare that erupted at key moments in your life?
Sure. So yeah, that showed up everywhere. Like I said, it was me, but then, you know, there was times where financially it would hit you. Then the car problems, there was a point where like everything was going wrong. Everything was going wrong. And it wasn't until later I discovered that like, this is an attack. This isn't just going wrong because I'm doing something wrong. This is actually an attack. Somebody trying to stop me from waking up, making life as hard as possible for me. So I just want to go back into that matrix, into that life. And it was a struggle for me. There were times where I'm just like, I'm going to the bar and having some beers with my friends. Screw this, you know? And then, but then you go back, you step backwards like that for a minute, and it's not the same. All of a sudden you're an observer now. You're looking at everything with new eyes, and you're like, holy shit. Like I'm looking at other guys make a fool out of themselves. I'm like, that's me. That used to be me. Like, holy shit. It was just like,
because once you outgrow it, when you try to go back, even if you try to, you can't ungrow when you've grown, you know. So exactly. You're already like, then you're seeing it from that, like you said, that perspective,
right? And then eventually your body just rejects it in general, going into those places. Like, there's like your frequency and the frequency that's coming out of that building, it just like they clash. They're like, they're never ever gonna see each other again unless like you have to go for some reason. But then in that point you put up protection. But the hindrances were the attacks, nightly, weekly. They were forcing me to call off work, miss time. I ran out of excuses, you know. It's amazing I still kept a job. Literally, it's amazing. Like, my guides have had to have had my back, because they were probably trying to get me unemployed and whatever. But I would lose sleep because of it. My hindrances came in that way. Like, it was more or less the actual attacks, the things that were happening in my bedroom at night that were just unexplainable. And I have a long list of things that happened.
Well, sometimes what happens is they get us at both ends, as you just described, because sometimes I would wake up from a night of experiences and like my body felt as if I'd run a marathon the night before. My legs, my thighs would be so stiff, my upper body, my arms just could barely get out of bed. And then to complicate matters, there was the archontic entity infested factor at work. Like, some places I worked at, some of these people were so entity infested. Mm-hmm. When I would walk into the building, I could feel their negative reptilian energy. Oh, so-and-so is here. I mean, I would feel it as an electrical, tingly kind of sensation. Yep. And then I have to be around this energy sucking person all day. And sometimes you have coworkers or bosses that are just full on entity infested. And then the work that you're doing is soul destroying, right? Like, I did customer service work, but we're basically just ripping people off for the utility bills. And it was just causing so much stress within me, right? And then I realized this is what the matrix is all about. So they got you, you know, at both ends. And it's a trick to to really to strive to just keep marching on. If you're going to fall down, fall forward, but at least keep going. Just 2 yards at a time. It doesn't matter. And one of the things that also helped me in my discovery, self-discovery process was whether it was the good ETs, my guides, or someone. During this process, especially in my high school years and going forward, there was a number of psychic paranormal experiences I had, which bit by bit, these served to be like a paradigm buster for me. Because I would have a number of inexplicable events happen, which really broke down my whole concept of what is real, what's not, what's reality, what's the supernatural. And that helped also, because when I would read about from ancient times going forward, all these fantastical type events, like you said, Tyler, I never got the impression that this was something that was hoaxed or made up, especially going back into the dawn of time, that these things have been with us all along. Interesting how in medieval ancient times, even the common folk knew that, you know, we lived in parallel with all these unseen forces that can have a beneficent or a malign influence on our lives. And it was only because of this age of reductionism foisted upon us by these very same archontic forces that we're stuck in all these little bubbles and stuff where we can't see outside of the bubble. Aaron, did you go through a process where, you know, bit by bit, you know, the norms, if you will, of reality, you know, were steadily eroded brick by brick, as it were. And did you, during this process of discovery, you run in any interference as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started questioning everything, like literally everything. And because of that, I was like seeing all the norms, like you said, of society and reality and our world, and seeing how every single one of them basically was a control mechanism. And it's like, oh, these are all just control mechanisms, or people have these belief systems. I'm like, well, okay. And then I would like look, I would feel into those and like, what's behind these? And it's always either fear, control, which is really fear is behind that too. So it's really fear is behind all of it. And it's to keep us stuck in the matrix. It's to keep us stuck and trapped in this matrix and feeding the matrix, continually feeding the matrix, stuck in fear and these lower vibrations, fear, shame, thinking your worth is in your material possessions and your money and, you know, all these things that aren't real at all. And I just anything that's, you know, oh, this is considered crazy, or this is considered unacceptable, or this is considered accept. And I'm like, well, why? Just because we're taught that? Like, well, what do I believe? You know, and I would start looking at things in that way. And, well, does this resonate with who I am and with love and with truth? And that's how I started, you know, navigating through life from that point on. And, you know, I stopped caring. Basically, I, you know, it was a process, but I slowly stopped caring what other people thought or expectations of me, you know, that people would have these expectations, or like, oh, well, if I do this, then these people aren't going to be happy. Or if I say this, then these people are going to think I'm crazy or weird. And trust me, I had a lot of that. And I lost so-called friends, many, you know, from talking about this kind of stuff. But they weren't real friends to begin with. And that's when you realize, like, the true connections, you're not going to lose them because of the superficial stuff, or because of what you know, whatever you talk about or you're into or whatever, or your growth, you know, it's not gonna, it's not going to destroy anything real. And then I started forming these amazing relationships when I started meeting people in the community like Tyler and other people. And most of those were like the real connections, and they're actual friends, you know, and now it's almost like I found my, you know, what people would call your soul family or your soul tribe. It's like, I've found that now, I feel like. And,
well, let me enter. Well, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I do want to add to that, talking about going back to the last question you asked me about the hindrances, right? One of the mm-hmm. big ones, actually, and this is with everybody, was realizing the people in my life, the people in my life that seemed to be placed there were all like placed there for a reason, almost to keep you from ever finding that path of light, you know? And they realized that. Yeah. I started realizing all my friends and these people around me were like obstacles and energy vampires, and they were draining me and they were tempting me. And that was the biggest hindrance, you know? And then you have to fight, then you have to find the strength within to say no to that and walk away from that. And eventually you just literally start vibrating in a different frequency and you grow apart. But the people surrounding you can be the biggest hindrance sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What happens is, just to interject for a second, what happens is, and this is just guesswork, it's intuitive guesswork, but when we're in the Bardo state, for lack of a better term, and you know, we're looking down at, okay, assignment Earth coming up again, right? I feel that perhaps we're given like options, not many options of what bloodline families to incarnate into. I believe that at oversoul level, things are orchestrated, that we interact with key people that we've formed bonds with in a soul group, as you mentioned, Aaron. And what they do on this grand cosmic chessboard is, even within your own family, they will surround you at times, seemingly surround you with narcissistic, abusive, kleptomaniac type people. And because they have this label or tag of being a family member, it's, you know, we give them a free pass. We let them get away with all kinds of stuff at our own expense. Because, you know, for me, you know, coming from a shame-based background, and, you know, because of all the psychological narcissistic abuse I was subjected to, an element of me became something of a people pleaser, right? And this, you know, resulted in me getting manipulated and getting deceived and getting trampled on and what have you. So I had to find a place within where I had to learn to detach from these people. Even if there were family members, you know, I could not allow them to manipulate me and lie to me anymore. And it's not a question of, you know, when we talk about these things, you know, Tyler and Aaron, oh, woe is me, I'm not taking any accountability for, you know, all this stuff that happened. Of course, we're taking some degree of accountability because it's happened to us. But in this grand cosmic chessboard of life, you know, with a, you know, a little bit of water under the bridge and benefit of hindsight, we can step back and say, yeah, I can see how these people, even family members, had been, you know, from a karmic standpoint, irritating us and manipulating us in previous incarnations. And it's almost like, you know, the archontic forces and the benevolent forces, and working in conjunction with an oversoul, that we try to set things up. You know, not every family is going to be ideal to incarnate, and some families probably worse than others. And, you know, what happened to me was mild compared to what's happened to so many people with all the cult abuse and everything else. But the need eventually to be able to detach from, you know, these huge distractions in our life, and then become comfortable in our own skin because we're so shame-based. That was key for me. And when I went to San Diego and became an active member of the UFO community there, I had to, you know, first I dealt with all the ridicule and laughter when I left, you know, in San Jose where I left. Now I go to San Diego and I get actively involved in this field. Now there's a bunch of new agers around us, right? Around me. And eventually, you know, I had to stick to my guns. I had to go with what felt right to me. You know, I didn't feel like I was blessed by having these experiences. I had night terrors. So I had to go alone after a while. And fortunately, I met up with Evie Lorgan, who I'm going to have on the show pretty soon also again. And for a while, it was just Evie and I. It was like we became the pariahs of the Southern California UFO community. Oh, you know, Evie Lorgan and James Bartley, they're always talking about lizard people, negative abductions. You know, look at them. They're so fear-based.
And, is she the one? Is she the one who wrote Alien Love Bite?
Yeah, yeah. I'll get you. I'll hook you up with it. I'll get you on for sure.
I experienced direct hand the Alien Love Bite.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
And see, that's another thing, because it's all about energetic emotional harvesting. You know, we are emotional beings by nature. We are sexual beings by nature. So, you know, these are contact beings. They're going to get their money's worth out of us, right? And so, yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there that part of my voyage of self-discovery was, like you just said, Aaron, I had to, you know, come to a place of peace where I'm willing to go it alone for a while. I'm willing only to have a handful of friends instead of being part of this big herd, just so I could, you know, be in sync with everyone else. Yeah. That's it. And, you know, getting back to the UFO scene, UFO community, I don't know how different it was when I started getting into it in the early 90s. What was it like you two started going into conferences, and when did you decide, you know what, in the time we got left in this first segment, yeah, we should get a podcast going, and we should really, you know, go, you know, pedal to the metal here.
It was funny because it was, we met at the conference, which, you know, conferences, we all three agree, were like pivotal points in our lives for the better. Like it was literally a life changing experience. And mm-hmm. It was Aaron, we actually were both from the same hometown. And then he lived out of state at the time, but he was back in St. Louis. He was like, hey, you want to get some lunch? I met me and my dad met him for lunch, and we both knew that we wanted to do something, or, you know, just started. We had something. No idea.
We didn't know.
And he mentioned the
podcast.
He's like, you want to start a podcast? And at the time, it was the furthest thing from my mind. I actually never envisioned it. I I didn't sound like the greatest idea, but I was like, yeah, why not? Like, what can it hurt? Let's do something. And the universe took the wheel after that. Seriously. Like, all we did was 2 weeks later, we did our first episode, which wasn't even, was basically a phone call with my dad. And yeah, and then it just turned into this thing now where
it was audio only, and then we didn't even plan on doing video, and then it just kind of like happened.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of went from there. Yeah, we just would have friends on that we had met at conferences basically at first, and then I had met, you know, some people that Tyler hadn't, and I asked them, Tyler asked people he knew, and then it just kind of kept snowballing and kept growing an audience. And
the best way to describe it is it was effortless.
Yeah.
Like there's the like logistical work, the things like you have to do, but it was just, it just like became this well-oiled machine.
Flowed. It just flowed. Yeah.
And even to this day, it just seems like somebody's got our back. I don't know how or why. It's amazing the emails and comments we get, the impact we're having on people all over the world now. Like I have to stop and really just think about it sometimes, because never, ever.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes just to interject for a second. Sometimes you forget that you do this. You forget that you have a public persona that people like look at you a certain way. And, you know, I mean, I forget all the time, actually.
Right. I know. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Me too.
You get a comment. Somebody's like, oh my God. Like at one point, somebody reached out and said, I was contemplating suicide and your episode saved my life. And they had this big long thing. And it was like, I was like, wow. I'm thinking to myself, really? Like, I didn't even think it was that good of an episode. You know,
neither of us even, had the thought of that being a possibility. And then somebody messaged us that, and we were both just like moved and like, wow.
And you don't realize the impact.
We were just,
And then it was just, I mean, it's been a crazy road, but it's been
well. And then you realize if you can impact or touch one person on that on a deep level, it's the whole thing's worth it,
right? You
know? So it's like that makes everything worth it.
Right.
So,
and then I think then I realized this doing this might actually be helping me more than it's helping the other people.
It's helping us too. Yeah, exactly.
On so many levels, it has literally changed our lives. And, and we're in contact with so many beautiful people now. And I realize not everyone's in that position, and just beyond grateful for what has transpired.
Yeah. And sometimes we have to do this almost in spite of ourselves, because, you know, my nature is Scorpio dragon. I like to do things behind the scenes. I like to kind of work undercover, if you will. And so it's an effort for me to have to get out and do this. I mean, it was the same with me for a long time. I didn't do video, but, you know, colleagues told me, look, it's a great way, you know, more personable. And I think you'll get more out of these discussions this way. It'll touch people more. And what I've come to understand also is, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. Like you said, Tyler, we come into this in the process of awakening, when the alarm bell goes off, and the inner knowingness and the memories start to flow back from our oversoul level. We realize that, you know, I don't want to sound elitist here, but we were meant to do this at some level. That we came here specifically to do this and much more.
Well, it's a passion. I know that you're right, because it's a passion project at this point. Like, it's not about anything else, but like when I went to my first conference, I knew that I was supposed to be a part of, this was my world. This was my home. And I didn't know what, but I had the strongest feeling in the world that I need to be a part of this. I'm going to be a part of this. And I had no idea what that was going to look like. And here I am, a part of it.
Yeah, when I went to another big conference, Bob Brown, who was a friend of mine, the guy who's since passed away, he did the International UFO Congresses a lot of times in Nevada. And this year in particular, it was a 91, 92 timeframe thereabouts. It was in the Showboat, which is a since been demolished casino in Las Vegas. And I was there for the whole week. And to be around that many other alien abductees for that length of time, where, you know, we could have conversations in the diners and the cafes and the casinos, it didn't matter. Just let our hair down and just trade travel horror stories, as it were, travel horror stories. There was nothing like that. And I remember, I was at the airport, and I was McCarran Airport, and I was going to fly back to San Diego. And you talk about like a split reality dichotomy kind of thing. I was already starting to go into a funk, because I'd spent this whole week with other people that I could completely relate with. And then I was just being torn apart from them. Right.
Right.
And afterwards I'd spoken to some of the people by phone. This is before the internet days, really. And, you know, they went through a similar process where they, you know, got really depressed. And I mean, I'll tell you straight up, I was weeping. Right. Mm-hmm. And so,
So I cried when I left my first conference. Sorry.
Yeah. I did too.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Because finally, it's like there's a part of us from an oversoul level saying, you're home. You're home. Mm-hmm. This is what you're meant to do. And then I went back to San Diego. Next thing you know, I'm in, you know, the message center. I'm standing in front of this big industrial size shredder. You know, I mean, in communications, we would, you know, we would put in a handful of documents and pour lubricating oil over it. I mean, and also because of all the communications equipment, they had multiple air conditioners blasting out. I mean, it was cold in there, right? And just the incongruity of being around all these abductees. I mean, there were government agents there, people like Leah Haley, you know, an old friend of mine, one of the original MyLabs who went public. She was being stalked by this weird hippie group of gaslighters, you know, and just all this skullduggery was going on. And also the fact that we can talk about, oh, I think that guy's a government agent and all this other stuff, but people like us, to go from that, and then next thing you know, I'm back in the very environment that's maintaining that cover-up. I'm there in that room shredding the classified documents. And as I was doing it, tears were pouring down my face because here I am again. It's like, it was like I was living a lie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, I wouldn't say paranoia, but so many of us that have had experiences, you know, we have this innate mistrust, you know, of people, you know what I mean, at times. And people ask you, James, what do you do? If I told them, well, I work, you know, for the U.S. Naval Air Forces and communications and intelligence community, who's going to want to talk to me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to keep that part of my life. It was all about compartmentalization and you know, putting on a different face for different groups of people. Because I had friends in the military, I had friends in, you know, that are non-researchers, and I had friends who were, you know, alien abductees. It was like, you know, compartmentalizing my life. So anyhow, we've reached the end of the first segment. Tyler and Aaron, could you give us your web information and if you feel so inclined, and you'd like to give out your contact information so people can contact you, you know, by all means, please.
Yeah. Aaron's phone number is, no, I'm joking.
Dox him.
Yeah. Yeah.
In his address. Yeah. He likes to go to this coffee shop. No. Yeah. So journeytotruthpodcast.com. That's our website, and our contact information is on there. And then you can obviously find us on YouTube. Like underneath every one of our YouTube videos, in the description is everything that you need to know about us, all the links, everything. And then we're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Telegram. I think we have other accounts, but we're not really active on them, but they're there just in case. And, I think that's it, you know. And then obviously, we have our conference coming up, Secret Space Conference, in May 2nd through the 5th in Grafton, Illinois. We're really looking forward to that. It's our first attempt at throwing on a conference and getting all these like-minded people together, because we realize we're in a position that we can do that. So we're doing it, and we're really looking forward to that. And all the information for that is on the website, secretspaceconference.info.
Yeah, and I encourage listeners and the viewers of the Cosmic Switchboard to plug into Tyler and Aaron's website. And that's exciting. Big conference coming up. You guys are running it. Really good stuff. Anyhow, we've reached the first segment of our discussion with Tyler and Aaron. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.